This is Katie and Kate Carbondale. In-kind support comes from your membership and from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. And from Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, for Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going well. And yourself?
I'm just great.
Awesome.
Been a busy day in tech news, huh?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
Certainly.
So you were telling me that you are not a Facebook... You are an Android user.
I am an Android user.
But you are not a Facebook Messenger user.
Never.
Yeah.
Nope.
And when did you first smell a rat with Facebook Messenger?
Since Facebook existed.
Exactly.
So...
Since the first time somebody suggested putting it on your computer.
Since it came pre-installed on my phone, I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Got it.
So okay. I only use Facebook in a browser on my phone.
Got it.
So, because okay. I went to install it once, and it's like, I want your contacts, I want this, I want that, I want the other thing.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, you know what? I'm the product in, for that company. So, I don't want them to have access to all of my contacts and everything.
Got it. Well, so my understanding of the story about Facebook Messenger and the Android platform is that... the Messenger app has the capability of basically accessing your call log, your basically phone call logs.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore all it takes in order for that data to be collected, by companies like Cambridge Analytica, for instance, is for it to be available or mineable on your device. So so any of our listeners out there that are using the Android platform who are also using Facebook Messenger on it might want to reconsider that combination, because unless you're okay with Facebook knowing exactly who you call, when you call them, and how long you talk to them for, because it I guess is capable of pulling up all that information. And it can also, collect your SMS data. Had you heard that as well?
I just assumed it had access to basically everything with the permissions mm-hmm. that it was asking for with when you install it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I wanted to hopefully get a little bit of a conversation going here today. So I understand you have a pre-recorded segment that you were going to try playing.
Yeah, we'll give it a whirl here when we're ready. Whirl.
We'll see if we can get the board right. And the computer to talk to each other. And what's the subject matter of your
An article from Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF.org, talking about something that was pushed through with the big spending bill that went through over the weekend.
Okay. All right. Good.
So.
Well, let it fly.
Responsibility deflected. The Cloud Act passes. David Ruiz, March 22nd, 2018, Electronic Frontier Foundation. People deserve the right to a better process.
That's it. That kind of ties right in with our discussion about data.
There's been a busy couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So and we have a phone call.
We got a call.
You're on with the geeks.
Hey, I don't know if this is the right call, but... I was hearing what you guys were talking. I kind of came in midstream, and it's just more horror on the whole administration. But I actually, you guys don't help people with like web issues and things like that. Cause my site was hijacked.
What's that? We don't help with
no.
You help people. I don't know if you were the guys that help people with web stuff, because I had my website hijacked.
Oh, yeah, we'd be glad to help you with that or do what we can, for a couple guys sitting in a studio,
Okay.
We can give you opinions galore because we've got a lot of those. Yeah, we can give you a basic, conceptual overview of what the process of cleaning up after a hack looks like.
Yeah. My domain was stolen and Oh, yeah. No, it's really pretty funny. Well, it sort of is and isn't because I'm going to get my lip done again. But
yeah.
The point being, like, I called my host at HostGator, and I didn't realize that they connected me to some other place that, for a really ripe sum of $800, will happily help you fix your issue.
Okay. Let's back up just for a second. Are you certain? Because most of the time when something like this happens, it is when you like go onto Google and Google HostGator support, and you basically get an imposter website or an imposter phone listing. Just so you know, just so you kind of know the mechanics of how that works. Because you know, I've seen Hewlett Packard sometimes like outsource or like do a referral with like on an out of warranty product or something with a third party company support company, but generally HostGator would not do something like that. Not that I'm here to advocate for them necessarily, but I'm just saying usually this type of thing usually happens because you've got imposter phone listing.
Yeah, that's so. Exactly what I thought, except that I called the HostGator number directly.
Uh huh.
And then it's like, you know, dial one for blah, 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 blah. And, you know, like three if you're having technical support issues. Mm-hmm. And that took me to an outside source, which I was not expecting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think it's called SiteLock. I don't even know. But I'm intending on calling back HostGator, but I'm actually just wanting to deal with somebody local who has the superpowers to just deal with this in a reasonable way and not charge me $80 a month or $100 a month because I have to get rid of the site anyway.
Sure.
Yeah, we'd have to know the domain name so we can go look at its history and figure out what's happened and see if we can figure out.
Is there a phone number that I can access you guys at? Like,
If you want to call the station at 963-0139 after the show, you know, give it to like 5:05,
something
like that.
I'll be heading to, I'm going to be teaching tonight. So
okay.
When I get to my studio, I'll call you guys.
All right, perfect. And if you don't, if Matt or I have left, you can get our phone numbers from the staff member that answers the phone and you can give us a call directly.
Perfect. Thanks so much, you guys. Have a good day.
Uh-huh. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976. Call in with your website questions, FTP, HTTP, mm-hmm. whatever you need to go with.
So, you know, I guess that kind of opens up the can of worms of if you are one of those people that has a domain name registered, there are some protections. Most registrars will allow you a transfer lock, I think they call it. That's a good thing to have.
Yeah. You can also set up basically so that you're anonymous. So like I set up all mine so that they don't get my actual phone number or email address. It has to go through a system where they fill out a form and then it gets sent to me and it cuts down on, spam inquiries substantially. Yeah. But then it comes back to the, you know, make sure you know your account number or account, username.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you have a strong password on that because if they get in there and they're able to transfer the domain away from you, now they have to get into your email to do that as well. So,
yep.
You know, you just need to be careful about managing your domain. That's really the crux of it.
The bottom line is, I mean, they can become very expensive. You know, they'll hold your domain name ransom. You know, for ransom. As it were, you know, or hold it hostage and, you know, basically say, well, I won't transfer back to you unless you give me $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 or whatever, you know. And so definitely, you know, make sure you've got transfer lock turned on. Make sure you've got a nice, difficult password on your hosting account, you know, because that's one of those where they can really leave you crying, you know,
mm-hmm.
if, you know, it's a bad, bad situation. So anyway. You know, I wanted to kind of compel our listeners and see, you know, if there's anybody out there that, you know, feels like picking up the phone and giving us a call and weighing in on telling us, you know, how their relationship with Facebook has changed, for instance. You know, I was just reading an article that Elon Musk, the founder of Tesla and SpaceX, has pulled both of his. You will no longer be able to find a SpaceX or a Tesla page on Facebook at this point. And that's his way of kind of, you know, as they say, voting with his feet.
Mm-hmm.
To let Facebook know that the, you know, the compromise of 50 million users worth of data to a, you know, what sounds like a completely crooked analytics firm. Do you know much about that firm?
I haven't looked into it much. No.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's one of those. It's a gift that just keeps on giving. The number. It started out with a CEO bragging on microphone about how he was everything. You know, basically the beginning and the end of Donald Trump's social media campaign, or that he had engineered. You know, he did basically said he'd engineered Trump's victory. And that's kind of where it all started. But now there is just all kinds of stuff spilling out. And it's really looking like there were federal election laws violated. It sounds like Facebook was definitely asleep at the switch as far as the pipeline for the data. You know, they were able to access all kinds of crazy data.
Yeah, you have to be careful. You have to manage your data. You have to manage your portfolio and your profile on all these sites, and you have to decide what information is public and private. And even with making those decisions, depending on how the site's operated, you know, it's not that private. You don't know, you know, who they're in bed with and who they're giving all, you know, basically unfederated access to.
Yep.
So.
And, you know, I got to say that I'm... for the first time in my life, really, you know, because I've pretty much lived my life electronically up to this point, with the exception of credit card numbers, bank account numbers, you know, stuff like that. This, you know, low hanging fruit for fraudsters. I pretty much lived my life, you know, after a fairly checkered past a number of years ago, have lived my life going, There is no there. there's nothing to see here, and so therefore I'm not worried about anybody seeing it. Mm-hmm. And but now I don't know what the difference is, but I'm just kind of creeped out, you know, the idea that you know, that there's a line in a spreadsheet or a database somewhere that has all kinds of information about me in it, you know, and that creeps me out. And I don't like that idea.
You can't necessarily get away from, you know, the big corporation like that. They have their, you know, their little, you know, click Facebook here, widgets that we put on our websites and all those things.
Yep.
You know, all that, every time that page gets loaded, it makes a request to one of Facebook's servers or one of the other big company servers. Mm-hmm. And they log that and they say, oh, well, you were on, you know, they can kind of extrapolate what websites you're interested in, what you're, you know, where you go, and all those things.
So you mean to tell me that when I can, like, use that face, you know, or log in using your Facebook account, that isn't just there for my convenience? Is that what you're trying to tell me, Matt?
Oh, I didn't even start to go to that one. But yeah,
because I always thought it was just there for my convenience, but it turns out that people are actually benefiting.
They're getting additional information to be able to give to marketing people.
I'm being a little bit sarcastic, but it has occurred to me. But there have been a couple of times where I've hit a dead end trying to log on to a website that I hadn't logged on to for a long time, and it says, "Or just log in using your Facebook information." I'm like, "Okay, I've had it. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to log in using my Facebook information." You know, and then you get in and you find out that you're in a whole different account. The stuff that you created before isn't there. You know, the online forms that you created, that's what it was, you know, type of deal. So, yeah. But, 970-963-2976, if you want to call and weigh in about how your relationship with social media has changed in light of all the news that's come out. You know, maybe it hasn't changed at all. Maybe you don't have anything to hide and you don't really care. You know, that's fine. There's a certain population of people that just put up the hand and said, no, I'm not going to do Facebook, period. They mm-hmm. never have.
Yeah, there's been there's been some movement on that one.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a delete Facebook hashtag or deletefacebook.com or something like that.
You know, it's kind of funny because I use Facebook to promote my band. And when the concept of, you know, delete Facebook, hashtag delete Facebook, is that seems very rational to me. And then I think about, well, I've got a gig coming up. I'll have to send out an ad about that before I hashtag delete Facebook, you know. And it takes us all back to, like, what did we do before Facebook, you know? I mean, it's, you know, my wife actually posed that question on behalf of an organization that she helps manage. And I said, you're going to go back to what we used before that. And that's, you know, a real website, you know,
mm-hmm.
not just a website with a come see our Facebook page and a link to click on.
Yeah.
And we're going to go back to using, you know, in this case, you like, doing mass mailings is not nearly as easy as it used to be, but there are services like MailChimp and Constant Contact that, and MailChimp, I got to say, I've had a really good experience. You know, I don't work for MailChimp. I'm not here to promote them, but I've had a really good experience with them over the course of the last few months doing some work for this organization. And they give you a free account up to 2,000. You can basically have a mailing list up to 2,000 names for free.
And is that like a weekly newsletter or a daily or?
No, you can send out 2,000 a day.
Okay.
2,000 mails a day. Messages. So you can split it up into a couple 500 name lists and do a couple a day to different lists or
just
whatever.
Depends on what you're doing. So nice.
Looks like we got a call.
All right. You're on with the geeks.
Hi. Turned my radio off. So I've just tuned in. I don't know everything that you talked about, but one of my circles is asking questions. Is Instagram as bad as Facebook? I know they're linked, but how is your data on Instagram used?
I think they're owned by Facebook. Just a moment.
Sorry, we don't have a ready answer for you on that.
I'm pretty sure that Instagram is owned by Facebook, but I am not.
It's owned by Facebook.
So same boat.
Yeah, there's going to be a ton of data sharing between those two apps. So, yeah, I think chances are the glib lip service that you've heard from Mark Zuckerberg on behalf of Facebook probably is about what you're going to get on behalf of Instagram. So
Instagram doesn't have the kind of, I don't know, tracking. I mean, you don't look, they can see what your friends are, who your friends are, who you're following on Instagram, but it's not used so much for news media or that kind of interaction, right?
Well, it depends on how it's linked into Facebook. Facebook is kind of the center, the wheel and spoke, and you know, there's all these other companies that are attached to Facebook because they've purchased them over the last, you know, 10 years or so.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I wouldn't make him. Sorry. Go ahead.
I've been doing a thing this year. I've been traveling a lot, so I've been posting every day, kind of a thing that mostly is a diary for myself of what I've been doing. And sharing it with some of my friends. Is there any other tool that does that?
You know, I would go get a free WordPress account at WordPress.org.
WordPress.org.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And, you know, they make it real easy. They give you like six different themes to choose from. You choose a theme and then you...
do your blog post, you know, your media,
upload your media library to it. There's going to be a little bit of a learning curve, but you know, you're going to be, you'll be totally autonomous, you know,
right
on there.
Right.
And then that gives you the option of, buying an actual domain name and having some email addresses and, some other stuff. You've decided to go, and take the next step with it.
And if you want to do that, you have to go to WordPress.com. If you want to have your own domain name, I'm pretty sure. You know,
I run WordPress on my own server. So,
yeah. So,
but you can look into it there. That would be a good place to start if you want to do a little blogging and photo sharing and stuff like that.
Yep.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for the call. Bye-bye. Still got a couple minutes.
Yeah. You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976.
That was a great question, you know. And I'll tell you, I'm really, you know, like I said, there is a little bit of a learning curve, but... WordPress is really fun. I've had a lot of fun working with it, and it doesn't take, you know, you don't have to have like just a huge oversized brain to do it. You just, you know, basically, and the great thing is there are like literally tens of thousands of how-to videos. I mean, if you can't figure out how to do something on WordPress, just look it up on YouTube, and you'll find, you know, and not to mention just YouTube videos, but you'll find just tens of thousands of articles. Yeah. So many people use it.
Well, and you have their codex.wordpress.org.
That's right.
Has a lot of good resources there if you're going to look at WordPress. I actually am I'm building my first WordPress site. I wanted to, you know, a lot of people are asking me to do little 1, 2, 3, and 4 page websites.
Or updates or refreshes on their web, Facebook, or their WordPress.
Yeah. So, you know, Drupal is just too much for these little websites.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, Drupal is a great tool, but for a corporate website, but for a little home end kind of website.
Drupal made my brain hurt.
It's a beast.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but WordPress is a great little tool, and I'm learning it.
Indeed. We'll talk about that more next week.
All right. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Thanks a lot, Matt, for running the board.
Absolutely. Have a great week, everyone.